We were thinking about Christ dying on a tree. Let's read that verse in Acts chapter number 5. In Acts chapter number 5, and verse number 30. We read there that God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Now you'll find in the Bible that the Lord died on a tree, and you'll also find he died on the cross. And you say, what's the difference? Well, the difference is the tree, only twice, three times it speaks of Jesus dying on the tree. That's associated with Israel, because it comes from a verse in Deuteronomy 21 that we're going to look at. So every time you see about Jesus dying on a tree, that's Jewish. It's in a Jewish context. In this chapter 5, it's Jewish. In chapter 10, it's mentioned again, it's Jewish there. And in the book of Galatians, it's connected with Jewish people trying to live like Jews. But when you read about him dying on a cross, that's Roman. That's Romanish. To the Romans, they nailed him on a cross. To the Jews, he was nailed on a tree. Actually, the word cross literally means a pole, a stake. It evidently had a cross piece on it. Now, I'm not sure the Lord's hands were nailed on that cross piece, but there was a cross piece on the cross, and maybe that's where it was written, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," on that cross piece. I'm not sure about that. His hands may have been nailed that way, may have been nailed that way. We're not sure. But in any event, it's the same thing. One is Jewish, the other is Romanish. Now, there are three men that died on the tree. And I'm not talking about the two thieves that were crucified with Christ. In the Bible, there are three different men that died on a tree. And this is very significant. And we want to look at the first one, because that's where you're going to get the teachings of them all, and that's in Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40. It's the first man we ever read about being hung on a tree. Okay, and chapter 40 of the book of Genesis, and verse number 19, "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree." So here's the first man in the Bible that we read about that was ever hung on a tree. Now, just whether he was hung by the neck, I don't think he was. He may have been nailed to the tree or strapped to the tree. I'm not sure how he died on that tree, but he did die on a tree. Now, why was he on that tree? If you read the whole chapter, you're going to find out that Pharaoh, the king, had a chief baker and he had a chief butler. And they both offended Pharaoh. And in verse 2, Pharaoh was wroth. He was mad. He was enraged. And Pharaoh was wroth at two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. So he was mad. He was upset. They had done something wrong, and his wrath was against them. So the first thing we learn about somebody hanging on a tree, they've done something that deserves, in this case, the wrath of the king of Egypt. So he was upset over them. Now, so the baker, of course, the interpretation of his dream was that within 3 days, in verse 19, that Pharaoh would lift up thy head from off thee and hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Now, hanging on a tree was something that was public. It was not like stoning somebody to death. That would be public a little bit too, but to suspend somebody up in the air is putting them on display. And evidently the reason was that Pharaoh would do this is to make a public show of this baker that had offended him and done something wrong, and to show his wrath, and to show his and to show to the rest of the people that they didn't shoot the same thing, he hung him up on a tree. A spectacle, as it were, to the other people. And the purpose of it was to deter other people from doing the same thing. It was to make his kingdom, bring his kingdom under his subjection. And he said, I don't want anybody else to do what this baker's done. I'm going to show people my vengeance on him. I'm going to hang him up on a tree, and he's going to be a spectacle there to the rest of the people. Now, if you look in Numbers chapter number 25, you're going to see that's a principle throughout the Bible. Numbers chapter 25. Now, Balaam has taught Balak how to corrupt the children of Israel by getting them to marry the Moabites and eventually worship Baal and the Moabites' god. And because the leaders of the people led the people to do this in Numbers chapter 23, we read in verse 4, the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people. Now that's not the physical heads. That's the chief men. Those are the leaders of the people. And hang them up before the Lord against the sun. They were to be hung. These chief people, the chief leaders of each group of these people, I assume the tribes, they were to take the chief rulers of all of these and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, in the sight of the sun, in the daylight, in other words. What for? That the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. So they did that. Verse 5, they not only took the people, but they took the men that followed those chief ones, and they slew them. And there was one Israelite in verse 6 that brought a Midianite woman into the camp, and Phinehas, in verse 7, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, and he rose up among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of the woman of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. So what happened here, him killing this man and this woman, as well as hanging the chief men up before the sun, as it were, in the daylight, as a spectacle, it was deflecting the wrath of God and the plague of God that had fallen upon the people, so that the plague was canceled. It was stayed. That's what the latter part of verse 8. So the plague was stayed. It was stopped from the children of Israel. So we learn that hanging on a tree then has to do with the wrath in Genesis 40 of a king, in Numbers chapter 25 of the Lord himself, and the hanging on a tree was a public display of that person, so that it deferred the plague that was upon the people. In the case of Pharaoh, his vengeance was taken out on the butler, and if that was an example that others should not follow, in this particular case, it stopped the plague that was among the people. So hanging on a tree has to do then with appeasing somebody's wrath, holding back somebody's wrath. In the case of the butler, it didn't hold back the wrath fell on him. In the case of in Numbers here, that the wrath was stopped. It was stayed. So that's the first man that was ever hung on a tree, was the chief butler. because of the wrath of the king. Now we want to look at the other man, another man in Deuteronomy chapter 21. The first man was not under the law, that is the Ten Commandments, but he was still under law. He was under the law of Egypt, and of course, if he sinned against God, he was under the law of God. But in the second case, in the book of Deuteronomy 21, this man was under the law, the Ten Commandments. And we read in verse number 22, chapter 21, verse number 22, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree." Here's the second man in the Bible who was hung on a tree. "His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." Now the strange thing about this verse is that this was not a normal thing with Israel. They never hung people. Capital punishment in Israel is in the verses before that. If you look in verse 18, we read, "If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Now that was a normal way of putting people to death under the law. You remember in John 8 when they brought a woman taken in adultery to the Lord, and they said, "Now Moses said, stone her to death. What do you say, Lord?" And the Lord, you remember how he said, "Well, if you're without sin, you throw the first stone." See, it was stoning to death. And if the Jews had have crucified Christ on the cross, they wouldn't have crucified him on the cross. Pilate says, "You take him in John chapter 9 and crucify him." And he says, "It's not lawful for us to be put a man to death under Roman law." That's by crucifixion. But if they had they put him to death, they would have stoned him to death. And that the Lord was not to be stoned to death, he was to be crucified on a cross or on a tree. But so God never allowed the Jews to actually put Christ to death, because they would have stoned him to death. That was their method of putting people to death. But here in this chapter, here's a stubborn and rebellious and a gluttonous and a drunkard son. And he's to be brought to the elders and have a trial, a just trial. He's to die under two or three witnesses. And they were to stone him to death. And then the very next verse, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, he's to be not stoned to death, but he's to be hung on a tree. This is the only place under the law where a man was hung on a tree. We don't read of anywhere else, outside of in Numbers, but that's a whole bunch of men. But this is the only man we read about, and that's the supposition. If a man commit a sin worthy of death, then he's to be hung on a tree. Now this is significant. We're going to look a little more at this particular verse. First, I want you to notice in verse 22, that he was a man that had committed a sin that was worthy of death. Now, what this particular sin was, I don't know. The man before that, the rebellious son, had committed a sin that caused his death too, but it doesn't seem to be the same thing. This was a particular sin that God wanted to make a spectacle out of him. God wanted to hang him in the public place on a tree, not just throw stones at him. And you'll notice the stones in verse number 21 were only to be cast by the people of his city. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones. Not all Israel. Only those in his city. And they were to put him to death by stoning him to death. Israel will hear about it. We read in verse 21. But in verse 22, hanging a man on a tree, they're not going to hear about it. They're going to see it. That's a public display, a public execution, like the old gallows that we used to have. When a man murdered somebody, they hung him by the head until he was dead. So he was worthy of death. Now if you flip over, keep your finger right there, because we're going to look at that in a little more detail. Flip over in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, and you're going to find out that every sinner is like that man they were to hang on a tree. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, the last verse, that is every sinner that knows that he sins. In chapter 1 and verse 32 of Romans, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. There's that same phrase. If any man commit a sin that is worthy of death, he's to be hung on a tree. Here it says, here are people who knows the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. So here, every sinner is like that man that had committed a sin worthy of death and was to be hung on a tree in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22. We deserve to be hung on the same tree because we are worthy of death. Those who willfully, knowingly sin and know the judgment of God on those sins, we've committed sins worthy of death, and that takes in all mankind. Now, the Lord Jesus, that little same phrase, worthy of death, and you're going to find in this Deuteronomy 22 and 23, those verses, you're going to find a comparison and a contrast to the Lord Jesus, who was the third man that was hung on a tree, nailed to a tree. It said of him in Luke chapter number 23, verse 15, Pilate says that neither he nor Herod found anything in this man worthy of death. Now get it. The man that committed a sin worthy of death was to hang on a tree. We've all committed sins that's worthy of death in Romans 1:32. We deserve to be hung on a tree. But here's a man, Christ, who Pilate said that both he and Herod said he had done nothing worthy of death. Pilate later said, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him three times. And yet, Christ was nailed to the tree. But he was not worthy of death. We are, but he was not worthy of death. So, a man that was worthy of death was to hang on a tree. We are all worthy of death. Christ was not worthy of death. Now, here's another contrast. That man that was worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang him on a tree. Now, we are worthy of death, but we've never been put to death yet, have we? This man was to be put to death under the law. But we are worthy of death, but we have not been put to death. Many people that were worthy of death have already died in their sins. They have been put to death. But we who are living, mankind who is living today, they are worthy of death, but they have never been put to death yet. But the Lord Jesus was not worthy of death, but he was put to death. See the contrasting here. See the parallels here, and the contrasts and the comparisons between the Lord Jesus. He was not worthy of death, but he was put to death. This man here was worthy of death. He was put to death. The Lord Jesus not worthy of death, but he's still put to death. We are worthy of death. We're not put to death. Not yet. All right. They nailed him. We read in Romans 5, and Acts 5 and verse 30, They nailed him to the tree. They put him to death. He was not worthy of death. Now, notice in verse 23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Flip over in John chapter number 9, but keep your finger back in the book of Deuteronomy. John chapter 19, the 19th chapter of John, and verse number 31. It's amazing how all this worked out in the life of the Lord, totally unknown by the people that were working it out. But in verse 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day, preparation for the feast, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. For that Sabbath day was an high day. So they broke their legs that they might, and they took the body of Christ down and buried it that day. Isn't that exactly what Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23 says? His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him the same day. Now the reason in the book of Deuteronomy, evidently, was that he was to be put on public display for a day. But at night, they were to take him down and bury him, because he was accursed of God. But the Lord Jesus, not so much based on that verse, but because the next day was a Sabbath day, a special Sabbath day that started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Because of that special Sabbath day, they took him down the same day that he was crucified, and they did not leave him on the tree all night. That's significant. Although they didn't know what they were doing, they were fulfilling the verse of the second man that was hanged on a tree in Deuteronomy 21 and 22 and 23. Okay, so there's three things. The man was worthy of death. We are, the Lord Jesus wasn't. The man was put to death. We aren't put to death. The Lord Jesus was put to death. The Lord Jesus said, that man was not to remain on the tree all night. They would take his body down, and Jesus' body was taken down. It was not lay there all night, was taken down and buried the same day. See how perfectly the Lord Jesus is fulfilling this Deuteronomy 21 and 22. Now, in the 21 and 23, we read in brackets why they would take him down and bury him. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. That word accursed simply means that he's under the curse and wrath of Almighty God. The wrath of God is broken upon him. The wrath of God is caught up with him, as it were. And he's been accursed of God. He's fallen under the curse and the wrath of Almighty God. Now the Lord Jesus, that's exactly what happened to him, as we will see a little later on. He was accursed of God. He was put under the wrath of God. He died on a tree, his body was taken down, was not left there all night, and he was under the curse of a broken law. Not that he ever broke the law, but he went under that curse for me and for you. So he was accursed of God. Fifthly, the reason for that it was that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, this is in a physical sense. It was a cleansing of the morals of the land of the people. It was a cleansing from defilement, and that's exactly what the Lord Jesus died for. He not only died to purge, as we were hearing this morning, or to cleanse us from all sin, but he died to reconcile all things back to himself. He died to even purge the earth from sin. And the very earth itself will be purged from sin by fire and the curse in the coming day. So you see how these verses fit so well into the person and work of Christ. Now look with me in Galatians chapter 4, and you're going to see how God worked that out in the life of Christ. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, we read there in verse number 4, Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, that was the birth of Christ, God sent forth His Son. He was made of a woman first. That fulfills Genesis 3:15, He was the seed of the woman. Everybody else is born of a woman, but not Christ. He was made of a woman. His birth, His conception was not a natural conception. He was made of a woman. God is working out His purpose to bring the seed of God into the world, which was Christ Himself. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law. See, He was made what we were, in the sense, a human being. He was made under the same law that we were under. Under the same law that condemned us, that judged us, that put a curse upon us. Because we're worthy of death. And if a man is worthy of death, if a man sins a sin that is worthy of death, he's to be hung on a tree. He's to be put to death. So He was made of a woman. That makes Him the seed of God. And He was made under the law, and under that law, He kept that law perfectly. Psalm 40 says that Thy law is in my heart. I delight to do Thy will, O God. Thy law is in my heart. And for 33 years on this earth, the Lord Jesus kept the law perfectly. He lived under the law. The law could not condemn Him. The law could not put a curse on Him. The law could not judge Him in any way. He kept it perfectly. And when He got to the point where He was fully developed, if you might use that word, experience, then it says the purpose of Him being made of a woman, made under the law, was to redeem them that were under the law. That we might be saved. That we might be redeemed from the curse of a broken law. Now how do you do that? Flip just back in the next chapter back, chapter 3 and verse 13. There you've got that verse quoted out of Deuteronomy 21 and 23. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? If a man commit a sin worthy of death, he was to be hanged on a tree. Christ has redeemed us from that curse. How did He do it? Because He was made a curse for us. Under the law, He took the curse that we deserved on Himself. He never broke the law once. The law had no claim on Him. But He willingly went into that place under the law and bare the curse of a broken law upon the sinner. What for? To redeem us from the curse of the law. And it adds this, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's the second man I was reading about that hung on a tree in Deuteronomy 21 and 23. So you see how beautifully this is pictured. Pharaoh's wrath was enraged against the butler, and he got hung on a tree. That fell on him. If a man sinned a sin worthy of death, he was to be hanged on a tree, but he was not to be left there all night, he was to be taken down because he's been accursed of God. And the Lord Jesus, because of the wrath of God toward us, not toward Him, but toward us, He willingly come into this wicked world, was made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us out from under that curse of that law, because he was made a curse for us. Same as he was made sin for us. He was not sinful. And the law had no curse on him. It was our curse. It was our sin that he took on the cross of Calvary. Oh, how we ought to love this Savior and serve this Savior when we think of all that he's done for us. We deserve to be the man that had committed a sin worthy of death. We deserve to have been nailed to a tree under the judgment of a holy God, under the judgment of a cursed law. We deserved that death. But the Lord Jesus came to do all that for us and take our place and die our death, that we might be redeemed. What else could God ever do? How else could God ever redeem us from our sins? His justice had to be satisfied. To be accursed of God, the sinner must be. So the Lord Jesus became that one who was accursed of God for us on Calvary's cross. If we've been bought with a price, then we're not alone. And it's our solemn duty before God and privilege to love and serve such a wonderful Savior as our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for that tree on which the Lord Jesus died, the one who was not worthy of death, the one who had never committed sin. Yet he took our place, was made sin for us, and actually died for us, being accursed of God for us. How we ever pray to work in our own lives to help us, to enable us to enter more fully into this wonderful salvation and to serve and love and serve our Lord Jesus Christ better than we have before. So we ask thy blessing upon each in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.